This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And joining us is Mr. David Beeger of NOAA.
The National Atmospheric Administration.
Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. Yes. Yes. All the above. And let's ask you a question. Me, Mr. General Aviation Pilot, what weather products should I be looking at from you guys? What should I be using in my pre-flight planning, my in-flight information, whatever? I mean, I watched CNN this morning, and they said there was this cold front. Isn't that good enough?
Well, CNN, great folks. And, you know, I would definitely say that, you know, our partners in media out there do a really great job of extending our message out to communities that we otherwise struggle to reach. For the aviators that are out there, the first place I'm going to tell you to go every time, aviationweather.gov. aviationweather.gov.
Write that down.
Yeah, write that down, aviationweather.gov. If you say something three times, people never forget it. So that is our webpage, Aviation Weather Center. And that is where you're going to get everything that you need, in my opinion, to pre-flight, right? In particular, you know, where I would probably focus you to go first would be to what we call the graphical forecasts for aviation, because that's very much GA-centered and specific out there. It's not something that's built for traffic management. You know, it's going to give you wind speeds, ceilings, cloud layers, thunderstorm forecast. It's going to give you winds aloft. It's going to give you the low-level winds as well as the upper-level winds. You're going to be able to pull down turbulence forecasts, icing forecasts. So everything that you would need to do to self-brief and be able to get ready to go to pre-flight, you should be able to find it there on that webpage. We are working on what we call GFA low altitude. That's definitely with the helicopter emergency management community in mind. I think that name has changed a little bit, so a shout out to those folks, and I hope I didn't get the nomenclature wrong on that one. But, you know, that is, to me, that's sort of a really great first place to go. And then, you know, when you're in the cockpit, if you're able to pull information in, you're going to be able to look at things like SIGMETs, right? Significant meteorological advisors, right? So I always tell people, if you're familiar with the terms AirMet and SIGMET, right? So an AirMet is definitely that conventional watch, right? You know, all of the conditions are there for this to occur. And then the SIGMET is kind of that warning, right? We've gotten a PI rep for it. We're able to, you know, via radar or satellite, we're able to deduce that the phenomenon is going on, right? So that's definitely, the SIGMET is the warning. You know, we don't want folks to go into those areas, certainly. And so, you know, those are sent out and updated, you know, frequently throughout the day by the folks that are at the Aviation Weather Center there in Kansas City. They go out to that webpage, but they certainly blast out to the world as well. So I know a lot of folks like electronic flight bags, things like that, and there's a lot of folks in that space. They should be able to get that information out there. PI rep information as well that comes in, so aviators can go to the Aviation Weather Center's webpage, input a PI rep there. That goes out to the system, and then other aviators, other pilots can then see that information. So, you know, you're helping your community, your folks out there by doing that as well. So everything that you can think of, you're probably going to find there on that page. And if you don't, give us a call.
You mentioned a key word, radar. Now, there are so many apps out there for radar on the internet. Which is the best one?
Oh, there's a loaded question.
that is a loaded question. I would say that the best one is the one that gets you the information that you need as an aviator to make a safe decision on whether or not to fly.
Now, NOAA runs many radar sites in the country, correct?
That is correct. So, again, there's over 120 of the next generation radars, so the WSR-88D, right? And so those radars across the country are definitely the backbone of the radar network. And so we're able to pull a lot of really great information out of that. Wind speeds you can get from radars, right? You can get, obviously, the precipitation. But we have the ability now, using certain capabilities within the radar, to be able to identify things like debris signatures around a tornado in the storm. And so that helps us when warning when we know we've got a particularly dangerous tornado out there, because we can see that signature and we know that's out there. So there's a lot of it. That's definitely the backbone. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention what we call the terminal Doppler weather radars, right? So those are an FAA system. And they're, I don't want to get this number wrong. I think it's definitely in the high double digits. I want to say it's 30 to 40-ish range, but I could be definitely wrong on that. And that's, I'm so embarrassed. I should know that.
we'll cut you some stuff.
You're the aviation guy and you don't know that. And those really are focused around the terminals. So they don't look out quite as far as what one of the NEXRAD radars will look.
Right.
But they're designed to really kind of get at that thunderstorm environment around a terminal and to get at, you know, the wind shear problem, right? I mean, it's not that long ago. I'm sure it's in the memory of many aviators that we were really facing a lot of accidents, mishaps, fatalities due to low-level wind shear with convection, microbursts, things like that. And so a real big part of kind of getting at that problem, there's many systems that do it, but the terminal Dopplers are definitely one that help us with that. So we can look at all of that. We can get all of that. We can see all that information that's out there as well.
I'm learning to fly paramotor. So when you talk about wind forecasts, anything above 10 mile an hour to me is a serious concern.
Absolutely. So, and you know, it doesn't take much to go over 10. It sounds like a really small number.
Nope.
But it's not at all.
You know? Yeah. When you're hanging onto the kite, you know, real
no,
quick.
You know, absolutely.
Is your data almost real time? I mean, it's got to take time to process and put it out there.
Right. But it is. When you're dealing with some observational data, that's coming from, say, a radar, depending on the type of scanning that you're implementing, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, we're able to get that scan, get it quickly. We can really get that information back. For certain airport weather observing systems, you're able to actually see, you know, 1 minute type data. Now you can't see that everywhere. You're seeing that in the facilities, right? You don't see that, but you can get on the web, you can get 5 minute data out there all over the place as well. Satellites, depending on the type of satellite, the type of wavelength that they're looking at, you know, you may be seeing as much as maybe 8, 9, 10 minutes in between updates there.
That doesn't sound like that much, but I mean, I imagine when you're flying along, yep. It could be huge.
It can be huge. You know, and I'm good for stories from the Wayback Machine. You know, I remember we were interrogating tornadic storms with radar. Gosh, it was 20 years ago. And a lot of times you're waiting for that next scan to come in. You are watching that storm develop. You have a pretty darn good idea where this thing is going, and you're waiting on that scan. You're waiting on that scan. That's not the case anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, the Weather Service has been able to really employ strategies and algorithms within these radars to shorten those scan times. I think, and again, my information may be wrong here, so bad on me, I came ill-prepared. I think we've got some scans that go as quick as like 2 minutes now.
Wow.
So, you know, we're doing an awful lot to just cut that time down, because when you're talking about these types of events, minutes count. Minutes absolutely count.
Yeah, right? When you're in the middle of it, it sure does.
Yes.
Do you provide any of the in-flight weather data feeds that everybody talks about getting on their glass cockpit?
So that's a great question. I don't have a full answer to that from like the fancy systems architecture point of view, right? You know, what I do know is that several telecommunication gateways that exist and several transmission systems that exist between the Weather Service and the FAA are the backbone of being able to take that information from all of those disparate services, sensors, and push that out to the world, right? So what we have, we're pushing out to folks, right? You are a taxpayer. You have paid for that information, and we're pushing that out. It just doesn't always follow the same right. pathways. And so some of that is a Weather Service dependency. Some of that is an FAA dependency. I'm fortunate because where I work, I have access to just outstanding teams on both the FAA and the Weather Service side. So when we start to see those first instances of data drops or missing, we can get on the phone call to the right folks very quickly and say, hey, we're seeing this. We're getting reports. We know it's a concern. And so we can get that out there.
That's pretty fantastic.
It is, and it's a great tool because I know I use a lot of radar just because
to find his glasses.
Yeah,
it's helpful.
But I hear, you know, severe thunderstorm warning in effect, and first thing I do is I pull up the radar and take a look at it, see what's coming my way, see how bad it is. And as an aviator, oh, well, they tell you to be careful with that because what you're looking at could be old data and it could get you into trouble.
No, that's definitely true. Always watch those timestamps. And you know, I'll take this moment to tell everybody too, when thunder roars, go indoors. Driving in, I looked around and I saw a whole lot of people outdoors. And the first thing that came to my mind was, wow, you get a thunderstorm here, and you know, you guys have had them just in the last several days.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we're well practiced.
Very, very vulnerable place to be, but well practiced in being able to get people safe. And I know this community knows exactly what to do and how to do it to right. be safe. And so that does my heart good.
Good. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Dave.
You bet.
Beeger of NOAA. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.